Well, I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. I believe the Lord has given me something that would be beneficial to us this morning. One of the things that's noticeable in the Scripture, especially Jesus' ministry, to me is that some things that people put emphasis on and of the world and all those things, it didn't seem like Jesus put any much interest in it at all. And he seemed to put a lot of emphasis on faith. When he dealt with his disciples, he dealt with the idea of faith with them. About, you'll remember some of the places that he even rebuked them a little bit about it and said, why don't you believe? Where's your faith? Ye of little faith, why don't you get this, and why don't you believe? And faith was such an important part of even the Old Testament times, and to believe. God says something, believe that, and there's something established, believe that, and it's when I want to establish this in a certain way, that just saying it don't mean you believe it. And sometimes you can even wonder how much I do believe something about something or those kind of things, but because we need to enact faith. We need to be able to believe it to the point that there's a difference in me because of it. I respond differently in a situation because I got faith than I would if I didn't have faith. I would have to put my faith to the forefront and say, I stand here today because of faith. I believe that God's going to help us by faith. I believe when we lay hands on somebody, God's going to do something by faith. I do. It's something I can step up for and put out in my life. And got a little illustration back at home. I went to service one morning. Brother Keith was the only one there, except for there was a guy that was, I can't say a whole lot about him. I don't know a whole lot about him, but Green Bank is what's considered a radio-free zone because of the observatory. And because it's been promoted that way, people can think things that's not true, but they think that they can run from wherever they're at to Green Bank, and they're free from radio signals. People think that we don't even have radio on our, can't even turn the radio on our car. You can't, no radio signals in Green Bank. They feel like that is no, well, that's not true, but it brings into our area a lot of people that are trying to get away from that, and they can be pretty eccentric people that come in there, and this was one of them that came in, and he came there, as best that I can get from him, he was on a bicycle. He come in a bicycle. However he got there was a bicycle. And he said that he told me that he came from St. Louis, the last trip that he had, that he came from St. Louis, and he came there, and he started talking, but he started saying a lot of stuff as I talked to him. He talked extremely intelligent, which I'm not, so that's a challenge in itself. He was talking intelligent and like he knew things and this kind of thing. He's saying this and this, and he started into all kind of things that I probably didn't fully understand where he was coming from, even though I was probably shaking my head. I mean, he's talking. But then he ends up saying things like, he started, he never really qualified who they was. I assumed it was the government or some entity out there that had got a hold of his brain and had erased his brain. He had erased it, and it took him a number of years to get his brain, and he wasn't totally sure. And I asked him, you know, where what brought you to this area? And he kept saying, the only thing that he would say, the memories of my childhood brought me back here. Well, what do you mean? The memories of my childhood. I'm come back here. Well, you never lived here, did you? Oh, no, I've never been here before. Memories of my childhood. Well, that's something to think about. And so I started saying the different thing. He started saying, well, where'd you know, what's your experience or whatever that? And he started saying that, well, I don't know how old I am. I got a lot of it back, but I have some memories of Civil War. I've got some memories of some terracotta soldiers. We know that's China. And he said, and all this, and he started inferring in his conversation that he was eternal, that he spanned time and he spanned ages and all of this. And he started, then I got to give you a warning. I'm here to give you a warning. Well, he's going to give him a warning. And he started giving a warning about, and he wanted to tell the whole congregation. The congregation was starting to come in at this time, so I was pretty concerned about this conversation. And he started saying that I need to give you a warning. They're after your mind. You all need to be aware of this. They're after your mind, and they want to take your mind. They want to control your mind and all this stuff. And finally, I got to the point that I said, I don't believe that. But I'll say, this is what I believe. This is what we believe. We believe that there's a God in heaven. And we believe that that God has made promises to us. And he said he'd never leave us or forsake us. This God said that nothing can take us out of his hand. Our God has promised us something, and we're sticking to that promise to God. They might be somebody trying to get my mind, but I'm going to tell you, nothing can happen to me unless he says it again. And we believe in God. And I started telling him about God. This is what I got in this. And at one point, it kind of got, I was trying to do the best I could with it. And at one point, he said to me, you keep interrupting me. And I said, yes, sir, and it's only going to get worse. Well, at that point, he started getting the understanding. We want you to, if there's anything we can do to help you, we're here to help. But other than that, we believe in God, and we believe, and it come to the forefront. And I wanted to say that because that this is what we face sometimes. Not only that, we face the accounts of people. We face this is what's going to happen. This is the diagnosis, or this is what's going to happen, and they're after you, and let them be after me. I'm going to tell you, Satan don't have control. I told him, I don't care who they are, they don't have control over God. God has made a promise, and he's going to keep it. And that's what I believe. I believe it, and I was able, and I said to myself after that, thank God for faith in God. Thank God that I can say, I don't know, folks, I don't even know about this guy. But I don't have to know about him to know about God. I know God. God has promised. I mean, do you think of the life of some of the people that served him that you could have said, this has got to be the way you're going to live? How could Daniel go down to that old heathen place and be what he was? Because God never forsake him down there. God was with him the whole way. You go and be faithful, and God's going to be with you. And we live in quite a world, and there can be all these things. This is the way it's got to be. And I remember faith in my life coming out before, and somehow there has to be an element of God inspiring the faith sometimes. And I can remember God giving me this idea one time when Philip and Sarah's Doolittle's boy, Gavin, was little, and he was sitting in the truck, and there had been a strap, a big strap he strapped stuff down with in the back floorboard, and it fell out, and he was sitting back there, and when they took off, it was hanging out, so they drove on it. If you can imagine the force of this, this truck drove onto that strap, and his foot was tangled up in that strap, and it jerked his foot over to the door, broke his foot, and I remember, I mean, it was enough force on his leg to stop that truck. It squalled the tire. And the report that we got was just awful. about what they was going to have to do to his foot. It was so mangled, all this mangled. And I remember going to prayer with such an urgency and a feeling. And I remember, as I went to prayer, I remembered some times in our life where the report, this is what's got to happen, this is what they're wanting to do, this is all this. And I remembered that, and I remembered how God, miraculously, you couldn't even, if you was a gainsayer, you wouldn't have seen it. If you hadn't understood it, you wouldn't have seen it. But by prayer and faith, God had changed it until the next report back was, well, it wasn't as bad as we thought. And all of a sudden, it's not so bad at all. And matter of fact, it's kind of minor after a while. And then it goes, and it is. And I remember praying with that kind of a thought in my mind. Lord, you're able to make this change. You're able to do it different. And you know, the next report we got, they said, well, thank the Lord, it wasn't as bad as they thought. They'd seen all the x-rays, they thought this, and when they looked close at it, they said, well, it's not as big a deal as we thought, and we think it'll heal up good, and wasn't going to take a 10-hour operation. Wasn't wanting all that stuff was gone. And you know what? That was faith. There was faith there. God is able to do that. When we look at the circumstances, how often do we look at the circumstances of it, and we get the human report, or the eye, we see what's, and we say, well, oh, this is terrible. It's got to be this. It's got to be this. It's got to be this. No, it don't. God can do whatever he wants to do with anything that he wants to do. So I want to, with that in mind, I want to look at a scripture that was kind of that way. You remember when the children of Israel come out of Egypt with a mighty hand, God had done so much to build the faith of a people that had been away from God. I mean, they had lived down there in Egypt, and God knew that they needed to have faith in him, and his promises was that he was going to bring them out, and yet he wanted to build a faith in them. He wanted them to... They were going from an idolatrous world into an idolatrous world. They were surrounded with it. And God wanted them to have faith in God. And he had made a promise that it went down from Abraham that they was going to get a land. That there was a promised land to them, and they was going to get that land. But you know one thing he required of them? Was faith. And he set the stage of faith. I want to say this, and I think I'm accurate here, and this doesn't mean that every individual, but I just say as a collective, we can be in this place to where the children of Israel could have told all of those great miracles that the Lord did and just still cow down to the problems that they... Now, come on, folks. If we got to going and saying what we know the Lord's done in our lives, right? The miracles that God has done. I mean, if we started right here with Brother Ivan and he told all that's happened in his life and the miracles and God working, and we went right around here, we'd just give this day up, I'll tell you that. Because we could go on and on with what God has done. And you know, it doesn't seem like that it transfers really well into the next thing. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not so sure that it is even supposed to altogether, but it is what God wants. I'm building something with you, but you got to keep it alive and keep it active and keep it going. And so the Lord does all these things, and yet when the children of Israel, after all that, I mean, going across the Red Sea is a pretty big deal. I mean, that was monumental in their lives, wasn't it? And yet, so shortly after that, with the miracle and all of that, we need something more than that. We need to have this as a day. This is who we are. This is what I believe, that I can bring out this idea of faith at any time. And when there's this crazy guy comes into our congregation, what I have got in my heart and the faith that I know, God is this. This is what God is. I can stand on this. You don't need to go telling me what somebody going to do and pervert my mind and the devil's going to do. The devil's going to do whatever. But God is able to do this. This is my faith. He's proven this to me. Yes. He's proven it. Yes. God can take it. God, and God loves me and cares for me, and I got to anchor my soul in that. And all of a sudden, when I need to, I can exert that faith into my life. This is what I need to. I need this right now. I need it. What would you do with it? I mean, I'm telling you, that was an awkward place, and I felt kind of responsible. And the congregation's coming in and all like that. When it got through, I said, "Thank God, I don't have to do anything. Believe in God. God got the answers for all of this stuff." Well, this is the scene. They get there to the Canaan land, and the Lord tells them to send. They're at the Jordan, and the Lord tells them to send the spies over into the land. God said that. It makes me to believe this, that God wanted this challenge to them. He didn't want them to come up there and say, okay, let's go. No, I want you to know what's over there and bring the report back. I appreciate that Joshua and Caleb told the same stories that the other ones did. That's good. They all went over there. They saw the same thing that was the truth. There's walled cities, and there are vicious people, and there's giants over there. And this is what it is. And so they come and saw the observation of the eyes. I can look and see when things look bad. I can look and see it. We don't, folks, as Christians, and faith does not say to us that we should deny realities. I ain't claiming that one. I don't claim it or not. It's there. My faith isn't in it and say, I got great faith if I just don't claim it. It's there anyway. I have great faith that God's able to take care of it. That's what the deal of it is, right there before you. Oh, I ain't saying there's no giants, ain't no walled cities. Let's just go in there blind. That wasn't what God wanted them to do. God wanted them to acknowledge the greatness of all that there is giants and there is walled cities, but my God's bigger. Yes, there's problems in the world. Yes, there's people that's against us. Yes, there's a tide of ungodliness that's coming in. Well, I don't need to deny that. I don't need to have an affliction on my body. I deny that. I don't have that. No, I got one. And my God's able to take care of it too. He's took care of everything else. And he can take care of this. And so here's the situation that the children of Israel get into. There was all these false gods over in Egypt, and he tried to break their hold on that in their hearts and minds to believe in the living God. And he showed them the great power and how nothing those gods was nothing. They could do nothing. They couldn't stand against the power of God. And he wanted them to know it. And in such a short time, they make a calf. It was always a struggle of faith. Did you not see what the Lord just done? What's that calf going to do for you? And that's a struggle. Oh, I see this situation. We're going to need something. Lord, help our faith in God as we stand in the day that we're almost in 2026. And from that beyond, for our faithful people in a world of technology and an ungodly world coming at us and the impossibilities of the things that we should stand in this place of faith. And this is a challenge. We still stand in the place of the faith and say, our God is able. He's always been able, and he's still able to take care of us in this situation. I'm going to start with the 14th. After laying that as an idea, this is what happened. They came back, and 10 of them said, oh, it's a good land. It's a good land. It's full of fruit. It's a great land. And there's cities there that we didn't build, and there's vineyards that we didn't plant. But there's giants over there, implements of war, and our cities are walled and thick, and I'm afraid, and it brings fear to you. And when I looked at them, that they looked at me, I saw me at like a grasshopper in their sight, and that's the way they saw me too. They said, "You a grasshopper, and it's fearful, and what can we do in this situation?" And two of them come back and said, "We're like grasshoppers." They were big old giants in their land, and their cities are walled, and it's a good land that flows with milk and honey, and but they got this in it and all this. And the one said, we be not able to do anything. And the other one said, Lord, help us. The other ones said, I see the same picture. And let us go up at once, for we are well able. We are well able. Why? Because God said he's going with us. We're well able to do this, folks. We believe in God. We got to exert faith. We've got to stick our faith out. I'm not saying unwise or do unwise. I'm saying there's a time to exert our faith out that God is able to take it. Well, you'll die. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I can trust God at that time too. God is real. God has proven to us it's real. I'm not delusional about my life. I know that I've got to go out of here. But when and how? Lord, I give that to you. This is what I want to give to you. Lord, I gave you my life and you picked the right time. And the devil can't do nothing about it. He can do nothing about that. He can't change any of the order of that. Well, this will happen or that will happen. No, it won't. No, not unless the Lord says it will. So these two said, let's go up at once. What a difference. What a stark difference about seeing a picture. And the only difference was two men had faith in God. And the other ones, well, now you can't say they didn't have some faith, can you? I mean, they went over to start with. I mean, there's something there. So in the 14th verse it says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. Now, I want you to think of something here. Think of these people and what they were feeling and what was happening and what it should have been versus what it is. That's not what God ordered. This is in the order of the Lord. The contrast to that is, it could have read something like this. And the congregation lifted up its voice in praise and song to the Lord, who had delivered them out of Egypt and who had promised to be with them. And they heard the words of Joshua and Caleb, and they said, tomorrow morning we're going to own land that we never owned before. And they rejoiced the night long. How about that? And they rejoiced the night long with faith in God. Though their eyes hadn't seen it, their heart had received of the Lord. Well, I don't read that way. That's my advice. But this is what the Lord chose. Lord, help us that we enact our faith in God. But instead, they looked. Did they not only look at the moment, but then they do as we do generally? They started putting it to the future of what the future was going to be for them. And we would have been better off to have had our future in Egypt than to face this now. What's going to happen to us now? What are we going to do tomorrow? We've been on this journey. What's our children going to do? This is a catastrophe. And they hated the leaders that had brought them to there and blamed them for this thing. How dare you teach me that doctrine? How dare you put me to this place in my life? How dare this? And they hated Moses and they hated him that led them into that. And they said, I'd be better off in the world. No, you'd be better off to have faith in God. God knows what he's doing. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land, here, God's fault now, to fall by the sword that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, do you believe that children in the next generation can be affected by what this generation does?
Yes.
Can my attitude and view towards the church, towards God, and towards the leadership and all of that, can I affect my children in the way they would want to live their life by what my faith is? and how I exert that, and how they see that, and how important the things of God are to me? Can I not give the next generation a view of what we really believe and think? Well, I would say that we'd all say absolutely we can. And they're saying the same thing. Now here's children and here's people. There's how confused they seem. How confused they seem. I'd say they was women and children there watching. Look at. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. And Moses, you see the discord?
Yes.
You see the problem that came in when the faith was lacking?
Yes.
There in that? Instead of them even saying, I don't know. Let's seek God.
Yes.
Let's seek the Lord. Let me give a time of prayer and fasting. Let me spend this night asking the Lord about this that we saw, that they saw and come back to see. About that, they didn't even give us that. They jumped on it and said, let's get rid of Moses and Aaron. Let's make us captains. And let's go back and repent before the Egyptians and go back in. At least we'll be fed and took care of in the world. We'll get the best we can out of the world anyway. And those kind of things. And it was all because they didn't have faith. They didn't exert that out and say no. I'm going to believe what the Lord's doing here. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us to the land that and give it to us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. Now listen, it says, for they are bread to us. Now I didn't deeply research that, so I'm going to only give you the surface idea of an expression like that. For they are bread for us. The very thing. The very thing, you would never consider the scripture as saying bread was a negative thing. Bread in the scriptures we heard last night about the bread of life. The bread of life, it bringing the bread of life. And the idea of Caleb and Joshua here speaking was saying that you're looking at this wrong. If you don't put the eyes of faith on this, you're going to get this altogether wrong. Folks, that land over there that's so strong and so and all that, it has meaning to it. And you'll never get stronger by whooping the little fella. You'll never get stronger by going through little things. No, God has said, these are bread for you. When you get through going through this, you're going to be mighty. Your faith will be built up. You're going to believe something. If I went over there and there's a little old fella about like that, and he's kind of sickly and around on a cane, and I whooped up him really good, I just done it myself. Don't mean anything. You go over there and there's a city like Jericho, and how are you going to break that down? He said it's bread to you. You're going to, God's got something in this to feed. It's going to feed Israel. He's going to give him something. You know, it ain't no different in our life. Lord, let things come in our life when we buck up to that and say, no, our God's able. Our God's able to deliver in that situation. He's delivered in all of them before. He can deliver in that. I know it looks like it's bigger than me and it'll destroy me. And many, many things have. In my experience, there have been many things I've bucked up against and said, it's too big for me. How am I going to be able to do this? And it ended up being bread. It ended up being bread for me. And I've told it many times, but when my first wife was dying and I got into a place that I never intended on not serving the Lord, it wasn't like that. But I remember where I was standing when I looked up into the ceiling of my house. But I looked up into the sky, I looked up into heaven and said, Lord, I'm at my wit's end. I'm at the end of this rope. I don't have anything. I have no reserve. I don't have anything mentally left. Emotionally, I'm done, Lord, if you don't help me. I wasn't mean I was quitting. I mean I was going to destroy me. I don't have anything left at that. And the Lord was like, opened up heaven on me. I got a grace on me that I never had before. And I got a power to go through. I knew I was going to be able to make it from that point on. The blessing had come. And I could say of that whole situation that was somehow ugly and foul to my mind, and all this stuff that had happened and is discouraging, and all of those things become bread to me. It made me stronger to believe. I can bank on that thing that the Lord opened up heaven and said He'll open up heaven on you. When you get to you can't do no more, He'll open up the windows of heaven on you, and you say, well, God won't put more on me than a bear, but I'm going to tell you what, He'll get right to the brink of that. He'll push it right to the end sometimes, and it'll be right there. And I can say that whole thing that happened in my life was bread to me. It ended up being a strengthening thing. It ended up being something that I could look back on and say, God was able. And in my ministry with men out in the world and around the church, many times I have been able to bring a help of healing or a blessing to them or an encouraging word, because that was bread to me. I got something. I got something from the Lord in there that I can share. And this is what this is talking about. He said those people that you're fearing and you're crying and you're doing all that, it was not said. God wasn't being mean, folks. God wasn't trying to keep you from the land. God had tried to build in you a faith to go ahead and go across there and get that, and you would find that everywhere God would be coming in there, and you would be stronger and stronger, and the nation of an infidel. These people were so away. He said, I'll make strong men out of you. I'll make something that you have courage with. You'll know that God's got my back. You know that God's there with this. And so he was saying to them, it'll be bread to you. Can you look at the trials or the situations you're in and say that there's any good? If you live for God, you absolutely can say, somehow, some way, this is going to be bread. It's going to be bread. I don't know how it could be or what it could be, but this is going to be bread. How much more rejoicing do you think that finally, after the 40 and some years was over, that they finally went over there? And they went over there, and the thing that God had intended some 40 years before, that he started doing to that generation, that by faith could step into the Jordan, by faith they could go across there and get it, by faith that say, was the giants any smaller by then? They bred them littler then. Or they had thinned the walls out. No. The only difference was that they said, by that time, let's go. God is going to give us this place that he's promised us to us. And they went over there, and the first place they run into Jericho. And don't you think it was much more meaningful all the way down to the song we still sing today? Wasn't it more meaningful that the walls were thick? Wasn't it more powerful to the people that around that looked at the... You remember how some of them had a feeling about Israel coming? Their God's with them. Hey, listen, nobody's standing before these people. How they come up there, and if the city had been nothing but a few shacks and something like that, nobody would have been impressed. But God made his people impressive. They had a God with them. Come up there and the city falls and they never laid a hand to it. That's pretty impressive. It was bread to them. It was bread to them. The whole world around them honored them. The whole world around them feared them because there was a God with them. Not because the walls were thick. It became bread to them. This is what God does for us in our life. Sometimes we pray prayers, Lord, help me to be more like you. Help me to be a better Christian. Help me to be more patient. Help me to get over some of the things in my life. And the Lord sends the very bread it does, but we'll run from the bread. We won't face it. We won't buck up to say this is what God intended, and it's nutrition spiritually. It's nutrition. It's something that's supposed to add value to me. I'm supposed to get something from this. I say of my experiences in life, from my wife dying to the things that I say in that, God intended for me to get something. God wanted to make me better. God wanted to do something in my life to make me better. I mean, I've always acknowledged that I'm not overly a patient person, but there's a way to get patience. You're just going to have to eat some bread to get it. I mean, there's some bread available for being impatient. It's just tribulation work of patience. It's something that you got to do. But it's good. This is what he wants to say to them. Rebel not. Don't rebel against the Lord. I remember I've had these moments. You can call me a nut if you want to. But I've had these moments in my life living for the Lord. And I was going along one time in a special hurry up on some property that I have. And I was going along in a special hurry trying to get some stuff accomplished. And I don't know how it even happened. But I went and all of a sudden I had some vines and stuff wrapped around my feet. I mean tight. It was like I was lassoed. And I went and all of a sudden trying to hurry. And all of a sudden I went down in a big heap and looked all around my legs and tied up in it, and I had a certain attitude about it. And the Lord said, "Why don't you just trust me?" I mean, it's come to me so plain. Why don't you trust me? And I, well, Lord, I think I do. I know what it meant. You might not. I know what it meant. God puts stuff in your way. God can put loud stuff in your way to get your attention. Say, slow down here a minute. I want to say something to you. You're impatient. Would you trust me? And I'll get you to, I'll get something there to you. And it's the same way with all of the things I think in our lives like that. I appreciate Sister Julie's thing about not all the crosses and something, but God allows all those things into our life. I think there is mundane things of life that helps us if we'll give that to the Lord, that those things can help us too. I know if I own a wash machine that it's going to end up going bad because I never owned one that didn't, and I'd have owned a lot of them. And I know it's going to go bad. No reason for me to go thinking that something's eternal here. It's going to tear up. Brother Dan, you're a mechanic. You rely on the fact that them things tear up. I mean, you probably ain't wanting people's stuff to tear up, or maybe you do, but it's what that. If you got one, you're blessed enough to have one. Not everybody's blessed, but if you're blessed enough to have a vehicle, right here's the man you'll see eventually, or somebody like him, or you'll do it yourself. But it's a fact of life, and these things happen, and you know what? That it's all bred to us, and when we realize, I mean, it's brought such a moment to me that I can say, thank you, Lord, that I even be in a place that I have a vehicle. Went home from this very meeting one time, and it was so cold at home. I got home and walked in. It was just a long trip, and always sick going back from Guthrie, or almost always somebody was. And we got back home and walked in, and I had done everything to keep the water from freezing up and all that, and I'd done everything but turn the heater on. When I got there, I'd plugged it in and made sure everything was right, and I forgot to turn it on. Well, the heater wasn't on. Got busted water lines all over, and I want to go home, and I want to relax, I want to take a shower. You know, I mean, this is the expectation, and the water's off, and I said, well, it's the middle of the night. I can't fix water, so at least I'll get a fire going, and I've got a fire going, and I got a fire in my fireplace, and everything was kind of getting cozy, and I was kicked back in the chair, and it was like the Lord poured my attention over there and looked over there, and I looked over there at that fireplace, and the fire was really burning good, and just as I looked over there, it was like it was on time. Looked over there, and boom, the glass in the fireplace blew out. Okay. It was one of those thank you anyhow moments. It was one of those moments that you, what do you do about these things? I mean, I couldn't let that happen and stuff blow out, so you had to deal with that kind of thing, and the Lord brought a thought to my heart. And I've banked on it a lot of times, preached on it many times. If you have a fireplace, that's why you have problems. You're blessed. If you say, well, I have a problem with my house, thank God that you have a house. Yes. My car went bad. You have a car. Thank God in the car. My child's sick. You have a child. Thank God. Honestly, there is none of those kind of things that is not hooked to a blessing. All of them are. You know, I would venture to say most people in this world don't have a car. That's a United. That's a. Does everybody in Kenya have a car? No. Does everybody have a fireplace? Do they need? I mean, does everybody have anything? I mean, I am so super blessed. And everything that happens that way is supposed to be bread for me. It's just supposed to be bread. Lord, help us to get the value out of what the Lord is going to allow. And I said this the other night, but I'm not trying to compare a lot of things that happen with me, kind of the bunglings of an old man that happens and those kind of things with very serious problems. But we all know that what happened in our life is real to us, and it affects us, and we're emotional, and we have these things in our life. But there is very serious things happen sometimes, and I won't bring anybody just particular, but Sister Julie, your grandchild, and that has been very touching to us. I think everybody can acknowledge, we prayed a lot about it. It's been a very touching. I've had children and grandchildren and stuff, and that so touches my heart. It's a real thing, but it's also bread. I'm not belittling it in any way in the seriousness of it, but God knows what He's doing. It looks sometimes hard to accept, but it's still bread to us. God's trying to get us all to heaven, and God's trying to do something with us. And I don't understand why certain things happen to certain people. I just don't understand it. And they didn't understand this either. They had been promised a land, and they got a vision of it. They was promised a land, and the promise was that there's going to be cities they didn't build and vineyards you didn't plant, and it was going to go over there. And I can think in their mind that they thought, the way we think sometimes, if God gives you something, you got it. Well, that's true. If God gives it to you, you got it. And by faith, you got to get it. By faith, you have it. By faith, if you can put it in it. He didn't clear that land. He could have. He's God. They could have went over there and not even been anybody there. He could have run them all out. But He didn't. He said, this is your land. You believe in me, go get it. You can have victory in your life. You can have victory in your life. You say, well, the Lord promised us victory, and I don't have it. Why? He ain't went and got it. You got to go get it. It was, well, wait a minute, there's a giant standing between me and the victory I want. Yeah, it's called flesh. It's called self. It's called Satan. It's called it's bigger than me. Lord! There's a giant, sometimes a lot of giants. There's a whole regiment of giants. There's all kinds of giants standing before me in the victory that I'm promised. I'm supposed to have grace. I'm supposed to be sweet. I'm supposed to be kind. I'm supposed to forgive people. I'm supposed to do all that. I come up and say, well, why not? Go get it. It's bread. I'll give you the bread to give you the strength to do it. I'll put you on your way for it. You know what it takes? Every time it takes faith in God. Faith in God that He's working towards that. I find that the Lord has a unique, we're all different, right? You can't assume anybody performs the same way. It's not wise to compare ourselves to ourselves. Because you can say, well, Brother Salmon's, I can say, Brother Salmon's done it this way. I'll try to do it that way. I'm not Brother Salmon's, though. The problem is, I'm not Brother Salmon's. I have a different family than he had. I have different dispositions than he had. I have different emotional twists than he had. I have all these different things that, he can do this and he can do that. And I'm not him, that's why. And he's not me. And I have all these different things. And his digestive system's different. I mean, his mind's different. He's different. He's a different person. I can't be him. I gotta be me. And God knows what bread I need. God knows what I need in my life. And He's the only one that really knows that. This will be bread to you. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. Listen to what He's saying here. This is what He told them. Their defenses has departed from them. What? Now, how can you make a bold statement like that? You're going to tell them, well, let's just go then. They don't have no defense. That's what He told them. Their defenses departed from them. The Lord's already worked this. The Lord's already put the word on this. It just is not like when they finally came And we use this a lot in analogy, but when Israel finally comes some 40 years later and they're going to go over the Jordan, didn't he tell them to take the ark? And I think the priest was supposed to carry, and they were supposed to go, and he said go, and they went, and they said that water didn't divide until they stepped their foot in, right? I mean, that's an illustration that we can all get, an illustration of faith. What was they going to do? Walk through the water? Don't know. They was told to go. I don't know. It's told to go. And so they was going. But when their foot went to hit in the water started, and it divided, and it divided out. And he told them all those years later, he told them, said that their defenses left them. From the time the Lord sent us here, they're defenseless. They're defenseless. God give us to us. Yes. If we'll have faith, isn't it something to think today that all of the loud roarings and the commotions of the devil that we can say, he's defenseless. That means we're offensive, though. If he's defenseless, we're offensive. We got to take the battle to it. Let's take the battle to this and win it because his defenses have fallen. For their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now, I don't know if I look at my Christian life as saying that there's a one-time boom or one-time experience that covers all. It's not been that way with me, Brother Ivan. I mean, I can grab a hold of something, then after a while, have to grab a hold of it again. I mean, there's been times I've had to, with those things. But the concept of this was is that God is with us, and there's no failing in Him. And if we have faith in God, and we face up against, supposing that the man was true that said, they're trying to get your mind. I suppose it is true. Well, it's true that way. But suppose, I mean, it's the way he was. Suppose that is true. God still promised. And he promised that the devices of the devil would not prevail. He's not going to prevail against us. So the world's coming up, I don't know, anywhere from the great genius things of AI and all those kind of things. Well, how do I handle that? It's bigger than me. It ain't bigger than God. It ain't bigger than God. The only place I can see to do this is to say, God's word's true. And I'm going to apply it to my life. And I'll tell you one thing, absolutely true. Who was it said something about I regret that I only have one life. It was one of our founding, Nathan Hale or something. I regret that I only have one life to give to this. One of our songwriters said something like, if I had 10,000 lives, I'd give them all to you. But one thing's totally for sure, they don't get the pleasure of taking you more than once. And that's liberation. That's liberation. When Stephen faced the ultimate battle that he faced, when he faced that ultimate battle, they could not take him. They couldn't make him hate. They couldn't make him vile. They couldn't corrupt his soul. They couldn't make him hateful or envy. They couldn't bring jealousy or anything. They couldn't do anything but take his natural life from him. Their defenses was gone, and he was able to get the victory because he had faith in God. I think he started preaching that whole message because he had faith in God. He stayed done what he stood up against the multitude because he had faith in God. We can stand here in this position because we have faith in God. God's able to do this. And so today, whatever your situation is in life, wherever you go, whatever your challenges for today is, for this next year is, whatever the challenge is going to be, you can say this: our God lives. He's master of the universe. He created it all. I'm in his hands. And he said, nothing can take me out of there. So I can pursue on. I can do what I need to do, and God is going to be with me. And that's the way I want to approach the thing that comes is to say, Lord, I want to be in your presence, and so when it comes time for me to win the battles that I need to win and stand up to what I want to do, have faith that God can do it. And realize that the things that look so bad is bread. I need something, Lord. Let me give you some bread. let me give you something that's going to sustain you and do something for you. And we like to think that it comes in a gentle rain. We like to think it comes with a hand on the shoulder or a pat on the back. There's places for all of that, encouraging one another. But oh, so often, the Lord brings it in a great challenge that you get through with and say to the congregation, that's when everybody goes. I've been praying for that. Thank God he done something for us right there, something monumental. He gave us the victory. And I can name those times to you that I saw us as a people rejoice. We all, many that's here, remember the time when Sister Karen got malaria and was, and Brother Michael knows it well, and the whole camp of the saints was praying and fasting and praying and fasting. Did we not rejoice? Was that not bread to us? It's still told today. We remember it so vividly because it was so out of our control. What could we do? But we had faith and put it to God's hands.
Yes.
And he made the whole thing well. Changed the whole circumstance. That's God.
Yes.
If he done it then, he'll do it now. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.